And that's the truth.
I want the truth!
If it were true, it would be confirmation.
You can't handle the truth!
Truthful Comics Podcast from Truthful Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and comic books. Oh shit, I'm all fucking confused. Well, welcome to the podcast tonight. This is not Confessions of a Movie Snob. This is not the Truthful Comics Podcast. But I am tonight joined. I am here with my group. I am here with the, the Asshole League of America. I'm here with Manuel and Corey. Say hello tonight, sirs.
Yeah.
Yo.
But yeah, what we're doing here is I do my other podcast, Confessions of a Movie Snob, and I slum it with these two folks, and I do the Truthful Comics Podcast. What we're doing tonight is going to be something of a fun little crossover thingy. We're going to release it on both channels. So if you're listening to this on Confessions, you can run over to truthfulcomics.com and read all that good stuff. Or if you're running into this through Truthful Comics, you can find Confessions of a Movie Snob. That's on iTunes, so you can even listen to it on your Apple-enabled device and all that good stuff. So that's what we're doing tonight is we're doing a crossover because we're going to be topical for the first time, just like a cream. But what we're doing is tonight is – I don't know what the hell the date is. Today is – June 12th, 2013, and on June 14th is going to see the release of the much-anticipated Zack Snyder's Man of Steel, a new Superman movie. Now, I like movies, I like comic books, and, you know, we're all varying degrees between the three of us, but a new Superman movie is a big fucking deal. I mean, don't get me wrong, I guess it's all right that, you know, you get Iron Man or you get, you know, an X-Men movie, but, you know, you got your big fucking three. You got Spider-Man, you got Batman, and you got fucking Superman. And, I mean, you know, like, and, like, way at the bottom of the barrel, you got, like, Thor. But tonight, we're going to just completely what we're going to do tonight is we're just going to talk about this like the cultural event that it is, because this movie's looking fucking big. I haven't looked in since yesterday, and since we're, like, you know, we're, like, at the point where tons and tons of reviews are coming in, last I checked, we were looking at 74% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is kind of weird. You know, I mean, it's kind of weird for early reviews, as far as I'm, because typically what I find happens, and I do pay attention to this, especially with these big cultural movies, stuff like, you know, the comic book movies and your sci-fi movies and stuff like that, they always start out really big because what they do is they invite people. They invite people to see them that want to see them, and so they're, you know, more inclined to like them. You know what I mean? Have you guys ever noticed that?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
I mean, they do. I mean, it's just the way that it works. I mean, it's, you know, it's movie marketing. They'll invite comic book groups, or they'll invite, you know, Zack Snyder groups and stuff like that, and, you know, they're going to be more inclined to like it, so they're going to get the positive word of mouth out to for this movie. And I think kind of what's going on with this one. And I'm going to kind of stop talking about this in a minute because we got to get through our news and stuff before we, you know, get, you know, down and dirty and talk Superman. But I think the thing going on with this one is, you know, it has been revealed that there is a big divisive thing in this movie. And I think that big divisive thing is making people that generally would like it not like it. So we're just going to see what happens. I'm not 100% positive the big divisive thing is, but I'm pretty sure I know what it is, and it's not going to bother me if it's done well. That's all I care about. What are you guys thinking right now? I know Corey's got his tickets to go see it midnight tomorrow, right?
I saw the picture.
Excuse me?
Yeah, midnight IMAX 3D. That's going to be the business right there, too. And then trying to do that and then work the next day is going to be a challenge, but I'll get to that. I'll get to that in a couple of days.
Yeah, I was gonna go to I was gonna go to the Midwest screener Monday night, and I just forgot. I'm like, ah, shit. So I looks like I'm gonna go Friday afternoon. I'm too old for that shit of going midnight releases and stuff like that. but when are you gonna go? Are you gonna go see this, Manuel?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm for sure gonna go see it on Friday. I'm trying to convince my wife to go tomorrow at 12.
That's nuts.
But we're still debating that. I'll probably go by myself.
Uh-huh. That's I'll see it. Now you guys are pretty damn excited about it, right?
I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't we use this? Yeah, I mean, Corey seems like he might be too. Why don't we use this to springboard into a little bit of news? There's even Man of Steel news, you know, happening this week. Correct? Do either of you guys have any of those news stories? I didn't think to ask. Because there has been...
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't we talk some Man of Steel news? Corey, why don't you tell us about the Man of Steel sequel? What do we have going on there?
It appears that Warner Brothers is very, very pleased with the outcome of Zack Snyder's efforts, so they're going to try to make it for make the sequel ready by late 2015, early 2016.
Damn.
And they're quick. They're not sure how much Christopher Nolan's going to be involved with this one, because he's busy filming Interstellar.
Yeah.
Which looks great, by the way. Mm-hmm. But,
cast wise, it's shaping up really well, yeah.
Yeah. And then the Justice League, there hasn't really been any word on it, but they're looking for a new writer for that one, so.
Yeah, I saw that too. I saw that I didn't really read the article, but the article I saw was headed with, you know, Man of Steel 2, fast-tracked, and Justice League may have found its writer, and I didn't look any further, because May doesn't get me anywhere. You say that they're somewhat pleased with his performance on Man of Steel, Warner Brothers is. Based off of what? Pre-ticket sales? What? What's going on there?
I don't know. They seem like they said that the sales were good, and they said that it's a really great Superman movie, so obviously Zack Snyder did something right.
Yep.
And so it's good that we're getting a sequel to that, because we cannot suffer Superman Returns again.
Mm-hmm. Just from the look of the previews, it's going to blow every Superman movie out of the water. I mean, it's just.
I don't know
the
about
technology.
That, but
the technology itself is gonna.
Well, that's right. This
you know,
is coming from a
look
visual.
A million times better, you know.
Yeah, because everything is what it looks like. I forgot about that.
Start that again.
No. I think that Superman 2 is such a good fucking Superman movie, but you know, and this one looks good too. My only trepidation walking into it is I'm kind of wondering what it's gonna feel like, you know, atmospherically. I know they're going for a darker Superman movie, which is good, I guess, but you can't make this as dark. You can't make this as dark as like the Dark Knight or something. That's just not going to fit the character. But I don't know. I mean, we're just going to have to see. I am very optimistic, very cautiously optimistic about this movie, but well, let's see what happens, because I'm going to go see it on Friday also. I'm going to be drinking the Kool-Aid.
I don't think it's going to be as dark as the Dark Knight.
Well, I know. I hope not. I hope not. But my point is if it is, that would be a mistake.
So everybody thinks it's gonna be like this grim movie. I'm like, yeah, it's not the, you know, sunshine and bright Superman, but there's still, what I can even feel from the trailers and the clips I've seen, there's still the undercurrent of hope, which is like really strong in this movie too.
Entire atmosphere of the movie can be it could be darker than the Dark Knight, I guess, but you gotta have that optimism in Superman. And it looks like in this movie he's going to be, you know, finding himself still. So, you know, while, you know, it might set itself up well for the right feeling of the sequel, I would just feel kind of weird getting there. You know, if, you know, Superman's all like, fuck this, and the world's like, fuck this, and Zod's like, fuck you. And that's just like, you know, the kind of like the entire movie is filled with despair. Because that's kind of like one of those things that's...
I don't think that's the thing. Like,
I don't either.
The trailer is like...
Actually, from the review so far, I've read a couple that actually say that they were expecting a lot of backstory and a lot of you know, about who Superman really is and all that stuff, and the movie really didn't focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why some of the reviews aren't so positive, because they were expecting that, and I guess they didn't get a.
I don't need that. I mean,
which makes me even happier.
Yeah, I don't like I don't like exposition. I know who the fuck Superman is. I don't need to spend 2 hours getting to know it again. You know, but you know that's me.
Exactly. Superman is a character that you can take the luxury of not introducing him, because Superman is like the most recognizable figure in pop culture.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows who Superman is. You know, so you don't really have to focus that much on, oh, he came from Krypton.
But do you remember that video that we talked about last week? The 15-minute preview or whatever for the Man of Steel, and Zack Snyder, I believe, was talking about. He said that the Superman symbol is the second most recognizable symbol on Earth, only next to the fucking crucifix. I mean, that's pretty big. I mean,
I don't know if that's amazing.
I don't know if it's substantiated, but you know, it's got to be up there. I mean, maybe it's not the second most. But, you know, if it's in the top 10, that's still a big fucking deal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, what other, you said you had Man of Steel news as well, right, Manuel? Alex?
I think Corey has some other news about Zod or something like that. I'm not sure.
The Conan thing? Conan.
There's going to be an injustice reveal tonight, June 12th, on Conan. One can only guess on who this is going to be. Mm-hmm. but it's going to be Zod.
Well, I hope it's Zod, Corey. I do, and I also know that we know that Zod is coming because of the... They cracked the... They cracked the game when they got the disc, but to me the marketing and stuff kind of points to Martian Manhunter because he was teased in the last one, and that's kind of how they've been doing it every step of the way, you know. Except for Scorpion. Scorpion came out of left field.
That's to be true, but the thing is,
it'd be stupid to not be Zod.
Martian Manhunter is awesome.
Yeah.
And all, I know he's a great guy, a great fun character.
Good kisser too.
Gentle lover.
Gentle lover. You can imagine those things he can do with those prehensile fingers.
Does Martian Manhunter have the visibility, I should say, or the recognizability for it to be revealed on Conan, especially 2 days before?
Well, no, but does Zod. But Corey, seriously, does Zod? I know Superman does.
Well, he's going to be in a movie. So
fucking what? Maybe Martian Manhunter's in the movie. Maybe that's the big thing that everybody's mad about. Who knows?
I was telling you.
I know.
Like 2 hours, you're going
to
see.
Don't crush his dreams, Aaron.
Hey, listen to the fucking show, man.
Like 2 hours.
I've been saying every step of the way it's probably going to be Zod. I've been saying that every step of the way. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Also, I have this to say. If they make Zod, you know, we know Zod's coming. It's just a matter of when. When they release Zod, you know, I expect it to be probably a new 52 skin, something like that, which looks dopey, but I don't care. But I would like to see a Terrence Stamp skin. I'm sorry, but I think of Zod as Terrence Stamp. I mean, Michael Shannon's got his work, you know, cut out for him for me to not always think of Terrence Stamp. I mean, that was such a great character. Such a great characterization.
Is this Superman 2 Terrence Stamp or Priscilla Queen of the Desert Terrence Stamp?
Both. I will totally see Zod and Drag. Or, you know, Star Wars Episode 1 Terrence Stamp or a fucking... No. The limey. The limey Terrence Stamp. There we go. But yeah. I love Terrence Stamp. Okay, cool. What else we got news-wise?
We got news that the court overruled the case of Gary Friedrich versus Marvel Comics. They found that the contract that Mr. Friedrich signed all those years ago was way too ambiguous, and it was, you know, they wanted to look more in depth, and you know, hopefully this means that at least Mr. Friedrich can get some credit back to, you know, to where. He can actually say that he was the co-creator of Ghost Rider and, you know, wow. Get some kind of compensation.
Somebody's actually fighting to say, no, sir, I was one of the people that created Ghost Rider. You know, that movie that made $5 in the theater. But, okay, I mean, I hope he gets his recognition. I'm Ghost Rider.
I called for a Nick Cage impression. So.
Yeah, I mean, everything calls for a Nick Cage impression. But, okay, well, I hope he gets his due. I mean, Who's the credited creator right now?
Who's the what?
Who is you know right now credited as the creator?
Marvel.
Marvel. Well, I know that. I know that, and I don't want this to turn into a fucking argument like everything does, but I know that, like, in most of the times, like, you know, with Spider-Man, it's always, you know, created by, you know, Stan Lee and, you know, Ditko, or, you know, the Fantastic Four, Stan Lee and what's-his-nuts, the guy that draws well, or, you know, like, you know... There you go, Jack Kirby, that guy. But, you know, it seems like, you know, for the top-tier characters, Marvel's been pretty good about throwing a co-creator credit there. Way, and I don't really know what happened in the case of Ghost Rider.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay,
I have no idea. But I don't even want to get into that. Maybe we can talk about that later. But
I don't want to talk about it ever.
All right. So let me see. Other news is the VA Virginia Comic Con is. The one that's coming in November 24th and 25th, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is they moved it to a new location, so it's gonna be the largest convention ever in Virginia. And special guest is gonna be Rob Liefeld.
Uh-huh. Now,
he will be the top. What?
I was gonna ask about Rob. What do these current new people think about Rob Liefeld? Because I know the people, a lot of people did not like him in the 90s. At least say, you know,
I don't know, man. I really don't dislike him.
A lot of people.
I mean, there's a lot of comic book people that don't like him because he's too. They say he's too cocky and he has a rock star symptoms or whatever you call that. But
mm-hmm.
I just see him. What the hell is that? Shut the TV off, Corey.
It's my computer. Everything
pop up. No, some people say that he thinks he's a rock star, and that may be the case. But the way I see it is, he just don't sugarcoat shit. When he thinks about something, he just says it. He don't think about, oh, this might offend somebody, or you know. And I can't really hold that against him, you know. Like, for example, when he came out and said, oh, the editors are fucking us and they don't want to let us do what we want to do. And everybody jumped on him. Ah, there he goes, Rob Liefeld again, being a rock star. There he goes. And then a few months later, everybody started leaving. And now it's the editor's fault. But when Rob Liefeld said it, he was wrong. And it's always been like that. Mm-hmm. Then so at some point, they blame him for the collapse of the comic book industry. They blame him personally. No, it was because of Rob Liefeld.
Fucking Rob Liefeld. Think
about that. Marvel was the one putting all those covers when he came out, when he moved to Image.
I'm laughing at the picture Corey just sent. Captain America with boobs.
What do you say?
Look at you.
Is it Rob Liefeld?
It looks like Captain America with boobs.
No, but hey, check this out. About that image.
Uh-huh.
That image never got published.
Okay.
That never got published. That just leaked. That leaked out.
Okay.
And, you know, that's one of those things. But it is what it is. And I'm not even talking about his style. Or, you know, it is what it is. He draws how he draws, and that's how it is.
Mm.
But I'm saying that he gets a lot of shit from people because he was successful.
Yeah,
and that's all it comes
thing.
Down to. He became so successful, and that people started hating on him. Ah, because he's making comics too popular. He thinks he's a rock star. I mean, that are you kidding me, dude? That's the dream. Everybody wants to make comic books for a living and become rich. That he just fulfilled his dream, and people were hating on him. I mean, I just don't get it.
Mm.
It's just comic book snobbery at its finest.
Oh yeah, sure. I'll say this for the guy. You know, I can probably name, you know, 10 comic book people off the top of my head, and he'd be one of them. So I mean, you know, his influence and is something that, you know, reached the point where somebody that isn't as in depth into comic books does know who he is. And I just know that, yeah, you know, and again, like, I don't really know what people like or dislike about him. I do know that a lot of people like to laugh at his art, like I just did. I'm gonna admit, I just fucking did it. I laughed at the picture of Captain America. But if you said it's something that, you know, maybe he just drew on a napkin or drew at a con or something, they released out, you know, whatever. But I don't know, I don't have any problem with him whatsoever myself.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with him at all. You know, it is what it is. I mean, you can't. I mean, not liking the way he draws is that's just taste. Yep. Maybe he's not your taste, but I assure you, he has thousands and thousands of fans that love his artwork. So, you know, to each his own, I guess.
Yeah. Very cool.
I wish you could just keep zooming on that picture.
Is it turning you on a little bit? I mean. All right.
I can tell you something. There's a lot of artists out there who are so-called stars, and they draw some pretty crap, some pretty crappy drawings, and nobody says anything. So
I don't know. Frank Quitely, isn't he considered a star?
Exactly.
His
there
art
you go.
Sucks.
And
I hate his art.
Like beef.
Yeah.
You know, like
like a condom stuffed with a condom like stuffed with hamburger. Superman. I don't know. I always said that his people look like condom stuffed with hamburger. So that's what they look like to me.
I never like his style, but people love him. It is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. What else do we got?
I think you had some news, Aaron.
I did.
Didn't you say you had something about? Yeah. Didn't you have something about Doctor Who or something?
Oh
like that?
Yeah. Matt Smith. Huh? It's not exactly news because it's probably going on 2 weeks old. But Matt Smith, the current incarnation of the Doctor on BBC's Doctor Who series, has announced that he is going to be leaving the role. I believe his last appearance will be in next year's Christmas episode. And he is the... And God, people are going to kill me because I don't remember this off the top of my head. He'd be the 11th incarnation of the Doctor, I want to say. 11th. And I don't know. How well do you guys understand how Doctor Who works? I mean...
I've never watched an episode, and don't plan to watch it either.
It's a good show.
In time travel?
It's a good show, yeah. I mean, it's time travel, but
reborn every now and again?
Yeah, like when they say, like, he's, you know, he's reborn, what it is he's this alien species called a Time Lord. And, like, the way that they work is, you know, they're humanoid types, you know, they look like an English person or whatever. But, you know, they go about their business, and if they get, you know, injured or something, you know, to where they might die, they're able to regenerate. And when they regenerate, they turn into another actor, okay? That's basically what happens. And the show's been on for...
That's brilliant.
Well, you know, it works. You know, it works really well
That was a brilliant concept because that...
Yeah, it kept the show going for 50 years.
Yeah, they can keep the series for years and years like what they did, you know? And that's a pretty good concept right there.
It's a really smart concept. And what's funny is it was just like, well, like when it happened, it was in the 60s. You know, they're just like, yeah, fuck it. Because the guy that, the original guy that was going to do it, well, that did do it, you know, he was really ill when he took on the role and he couldn't do it anymore. And people were digging the show. It's like, well, how do we keep it going? Ah, fuck it, he's an alien who turns into somebody else. And, you know, like that quick little thing is something that's kept the show going, and it's actually become a staple of the Doctor Who series. And I like Doctor Who, don't get me wrong, it's a good show. I like watching. I'm not a fucking Whovian. Those people are crazy. But you know, I do like Doctor Who, and Matt Smith has been my favorite of the Doctors. And again, that's sacrilegious because, you know, apparently the only cool one that you can like without getting attacked for is David Tennant. And I like David Tennant. I like him a lot. But I like Matt Smith as the Doctor the best. He's been so good. He's very British, very young. But he was really good at playing an old person in a young man's body. And he just... I'm gonna miss him because he was, you know, he was a good Doctor. I liked him, and it's good. And also. You know, I spent a lot of time on the show complaining about people complaining, and one of like the biggest things in this world that I hate listening to people complain about is Doctor Who, and I learned this firsthand in the speculation times between David Tennant and Matt Smith, and it's just right now is the worst time to be a Doctor Who fan because you got to listen to all this bullshit speculation about who it's going to be. I mean, I remember in between Tennant and Smith, people saying like, "Oh, it's gonna be Johnny Depp. Oh, it's gonna be Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's gonna be this. Oh, it's gonna be that." If it's not, and that's the one that really bothers me, is people like, okay, if it isn't, you know, fill in the blank. If it isn't, you know, somebody's favorite actor, you know, Richard Ayoade, you know, Simon Pegg, or if it's not a woman, or if it's not a black guy, or if it's not, I'm not going to watch, and it's going to be stupid, and this, and I'm just like, shut the fuck up and wait to see what happens.
You know you're going
to
watch it.
Well, or, yeah, or if you're not, shut the fuck up. That's a big thing to me. I mean, that's yeah, STFU. I mean, that's a big thing to me about this. It's like, are you going to watch it? Yeah. Then shut up. Are you not going to watch it? No, then shut the fuck up. I mean, that's just my whole thing about it is I don't care what they do. I don't care who it is. They could tell me right now it's going to be Harrison Ford. I'd be like, well, that's weird. He's old and he's not British. And I'll be like, huh, I want, you know, I'd set Harrison Ford because I'm looking at an Empire poster right now. But I'd be like, huh. But I would absolutely reserve judgment until I see what they actually plan on doing with it. I was, like I said last week, I was on the Black Girl Nerds podcast. We spent way too much time talking about, excuse me, talking about Doctor Who. And then we got to talking about, you know, what we were calling gimmicks, like Doctor Who gimmicks. Some people are throwing a fit, like, you know, if I, and none of the people on the show are awesome, but like some people complain like, you know what, you know, oh, it'd be bullshit if they made the, you know, the Doctor black. I wouldn't have a problem if they made the Doctor black. I mean, the Doctor's not a fucking human and he turns into a human looking thing. I don't care if he's black. I think it would be a little bit gimmicky if they made him a woman. I do think that, but, I also don't care. I mean, they can make him a fucking robot dog, and I would still watch it. I would just have to see what it is. But I do know this: I am gonna miss Matt Smith. I've liked his tenure as the Doctor, and I think, you know, check it out sometime, guys. It is a good show. I mean, it's way better than Thor. So
that's true.
Hey,
that's not really hard to do, though.
No, actually, it's a good it's a good show. It's a better show to watch in a vacuum. I'm gonna tell you that. Don't go and be, hey, this is pretty cool. Let's go talk to people. No, I mean, Doctor Who fans, if I had to put it in comic book terms, Doctor Who fans are like Deadpool fans. Okay? They are nuts. And again, I like Deadpool okay. He's fine, but I don't like his fucking...
I think that's something that me and Manuel can agree on is that we don't like Deadpool fans.
You're like who?
Deadpool fans.
Oh, I don't like Deadpool either, but...
I like Deadpool,
yeah,
just
Deadpool
fine.
Deadpool fans are the worst.
But Deadpool fans are nuts, and I do think the Doctor Who fans are very similar to Deadpool fans, and, you know...
By the way, Deadpool was created by Rob Liefeld.
Yes, he was. Well, co-created. But he was co-created by Rob Liefeld. He first showed up in New Mutants something. I don't remember. I have it. I don't remember what number it is, though, but it's New Mutants 2 something, if I remember right. But, and you're right, he was co-created by Rob Liefeld. He was, you know, it's like any other character. Like, you know, his first appearance is nothing like he's become. I mean, he was just like kind of like an assassin when he first showed up, and
yeah,
he wasn't wisecracking, and he wasn't, you know, breaking the fourth wall and all. I actually kind of like Deadpool. He's a very, I don't want to read him monthly, by God, I don't want to read him monthly, but he's an acquired taste. It's kind of fun every once in a while, and I am really looking forward to the Deadpool game that's coming out later this month, because I told these guys, I'm like, shit, I want to play this game, and Manuel's like, oh, I don't, you know, fuck, fuck Deadpool and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know what? I kind of agree with you. He's kind of weird, you know, comic books wise, but I think he could actually make for a hell of a fun video game. And I stand behind that. It could be a fun video game. So we'll see.
Yeah, it could.
Okay.
People are going to buy it regardless.
Yeah.
They are or they aren't?
Yeah, they are, I said. And then for like the next week or two after it comes out, you're going to hear, woo, Deadpool rules with a Z.
Deadpool sells.
Deadpool yeah. rules
the
with a Z.
The comic book sells and the t-shirts and everything that has Deadpool in it.
I want a
t-shirt.
Corey, who Deadpool rules with a Z. I want a t-shirt that says that. But he's right. I mean, Deadpool is one of those people that makes people think that they're into comic books when they're not. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean, they think that they're into like underground indie shit because they've heard of Deadpool, and it's like, no, I'm sorry.
Like the number one Batman fan.
Number one Batman fan. Yeah. I mean,
Deadpool
rules with a Z.
Didn't know that.
I can't wait till I get that game.
That's a good point, because if you're a fucking Batman fan, you know that Dark Knight Returns is nowhere near the fucking New 52. God damn! It's 2 days ago, and I still like, can't believe it.
Hey,
let it go, Corey.
Hey, she was tired.
Jumped out of window.
She was tired, man. Come on.
Yeah,
she did. It was awesome. Yep. All right. What else? What else we got?
The last thing I wanted to mention. The Batman Zero Year. Did you read it, Corey?
I have not. I'm about to though.
Man, oh fuck yeah! I
want to read it again. I want to read it again and give it. You know, I want to hold my judgment. But so far, snooze fest.
Huh?
Snooze fest.
It's an 11-issue thing. So.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing. They're trying to stretch this puppy out as much as they can. Because I was reading it, and I'm like, imagine. Oh man, what the hell is this? There's a little, just kind of like a big reveal, a little bit, but yeah, it's nothing like. I mean, I wanted some action, I guess, but you know.
Newsflash, Manuel is disappointed in a Batman thing. Holy shit!
No, I love Batman. I love Batman. I've been loving the series. That's the thing. I was expecting, you know.
It's funny.
They've been promoting it so much, but
we don't ever hear about that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Who's sending me messages right now?
Somebody. I don't know. Oh, it's fucking Corey. Goddamn Corey.
I just saw the image.
You just saw the picture.
Damn it, Corey! Stop it.
I downloaded Zero Year the other night on my iPad, or today on my, no, it was last night on my iPad. I actually completely forgot about it. Cool. Oh yeah, dude. Hey, are we gonna talk Arkham Origins?
It looks sweet.
Yeah, it does.
Goddamn awesome. They just announced an Adam West Batman and fucking
Anarchy.
Jean-Paul LaVey. Skin for when, remember when he was in
Valley. Jean-Paul Valley. Okay, gotcha.
Jean-Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Valet.
And then they introduced Anarchy. I kind of dig this new guy's voice for Batman. It's the Joker, right. Though. That's kind of leaves me the room to be desired. But
yeah, you know, we heard one sentence. I mean, again, it's kind of like.
Did you see the extended demo? It's like half an hour, or it shows them like.
No.
It has like a 5-minute cutscene.
No.
Yeah, it's really good. Like,
go ahead and send that to me. I'll watch it later.
It shows a fight between. There's like a 5-minute cutscene between Bane and the Joker and Batman. So
very cool.
Pretty.
I am Twitter friends with people that sound like your your buddy there, the number one Bat fan, and they were live tweeting E3 the other night, and they were playing this trailer, and it just cracked me the hell up to just. To listen to just hear them incorrectly talk about stuff. They're all like, "Oh shit, it's Mark Hamill as the Joker." Yeah, no. I'm like, "That's not Mark Hamill as the Joker." And they're all like, "Well,
clearly it's not him."
Yeah, they're like, "It has to be because that's Kevin Conroy." I'm like, "No, it's not Kevin Conroy either." And you know, I mean, I'm just like, I don't want to piss on your parade, and you know, I'm not calling you stupid, but that's not who it is. And you know, the new trailer, the one that actually shows gameplay and stuff, looks pretty badass. The whole thing where he drops the thug on the Christmas tree, I was like, holy crap! I mean, that was like, you know, that reminded me of like, you know, like Frank Miller stuff. So I mean, it was cool. I mean. Looks dark. I kind of like the piecemeal look of the bat suit. I mean, did you notice that, Corey? It looks quite a bit different.
It looks very raw.
Yeah, like, it looks very pieced like together.
It's like a prototype one.
Yeah, like
we noticed like the biggest thing I've noticed was you know, like in Arkham City and Salem, he has like the full like forearm like braces.
Yeah.
He only has this on the elbow right there. It's like, oh man, they put all this attention to detail, like just how basic his suit was at the time. Mm-hmm. You know,
Yeah, I like that about it. I got some video game snob friends that are all like, yeah, fuck this game because it's not Rocksteady. And I'm like, I don't know where you're getting that, because everything I see looks at least on par with Arkham Asylum and stuff like that. So I don't know. I have it pre-ordered. I can't fucking wait. I cannot wait for this game. So,
It's gonna be the business right there.
Yep, it is. Last thing we're gonna talk about before we move on to our picks of the week is going to be some Amazing Spider-Man 2 news. Do you guys? How do we want to discuss Electro? I mean, how do we want to go about doing that?
I think he actually looks interesting. Like, I'm glad they got him out of that goddamn yellow and green.
Absolutely,
suit.
I agree.
Absolutely,
with that starfish face. Yeah,
looks just like the Emperor. I think it looks. Yeah, it's Jamie Foxx. Why don't we set this up a little bit better than rambling like we always do? Jamie Foxx, Academy Award winning actor. As we've said on the show before, he is going to be playing Electro. We've actually speculated before about the suit, if you remember. I mean, we didn't go on about it too much, but we said, I wonder what the hell they're going to do with that, because it's a pretty goddamn goofy-looking suit. I mean, it's kind of like this green suit with, like, this bomb burst kind of electricity-looking thing on his head. And it, you know, I mean, it might be iconic, it might be classic, but it just would not work in film. And they released a picture of what he's going to look at on, it was, what the hell is Jay Leno's show called? The Tonight Show? Whatever that show is.
Tonight Show.
Yeah. There was a little interview, little excerpt of the interview from Jamie Foxx, and they released a picture of his character, you know, pre-transformation or pre-Electro or whatever, and it just looks like, you know, your stereotypical fucking dork. He looked like, you know, he had a comb over, he had his glasses were on his face all askew, pocket protector.
Well, he did say something funny, though. He says that he wanted to be the first black man with a comb over.
Yeah. He kind of reminded me of Bill Murray from Kingpin in that picture. Do you remember how awful the comb over was?
They kept getting worse throughout that whole movie.
Yeah. That they did that, and then they released a photo of him as Electro, like, you know, in villain costume, and, you know, like he looks like the Emperor from Star Wars to me. I mean, I only kind of glanced at it, because when I saw it, it was just on a video, so it was up on screen for, you know, like 10 seconds or whatever, so I didn't get a chance to really look at it too much, but it looked like he had on long flowy robes, and his face was like kind of like a light blue. And he kind of looked like the Emperor to me. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but what were your impressions of him? I mean,
he looks to me. He looks intimidating. Actually, he looks kind of like the Emperor. The Emperor looks pretty fucking scary if you look at him. Really,
looks like Mumra.
So I mean, and what Jamie Foxx was saying is that's just the regular look, but in the final product, his whole face is gonna be glowing.
Yeah,
and he's gonna have like electricity going through him at all times. So
that sounds,
we have
like
to
cool
wait
look.
And see, you know.
And now, is it just my man Manuel that's all pissed off about his voice, or is that a general thing throughout the internet? I didn't really pay attention.
No, I wasn't. I'm not pissed about his voice.
I know. I'm giving you shit.
I'm just busting his ball.
Oh.
Okay. I was gonna say, because, you know, he did his electric.
No, people are pissed.
Are they pissed?
Are pissed off about his skin color, but that's a whole other
can of worms. Well, everybody loves their thinly. Everybody loves their thinly veiled racism. We know that, but you know, his voice. You know, he did his Electro voice, and that was like the big news. I'm like, it sounds like a deep, menacing voice to me. He's all like, "Yes, I
exactly."
You know, I'm like, "Ooh, big reveal. He sounds scary." You know, moving on. You know, to me, the big thing in that interview was the two images, not its stupid voice, but, like, you know, all the stuff online. It was all, he debuts his voice and, like, and what the character looks like. You know, but, you know, whatever. So, yeah. Again, we'll have to see. I'm kind of wondering about this movie. The first one was pretty good. We talked about that. This one, I guess Gwen Stacy's going to die in it. But we'll have to see what happens.
they seem to be, the only concern about it is they seem to be packing the villains in there.
But there's two. I mean, there's Electro and Rhino, and we got Norman Osborn in there, and we got Harry in there. That doesn't mean they're going to be, you know, throwing pumpkin bombs necessarily, right?
Take their time. Please. don't do the Spider-Man 3 thing, please.
I, Well, I'm gonna tell you this. I'm gonna say it like this. If they don't have, if Gwen Stacy died and it's not with Spider-Man fighting Green Goblin, all hell's gonna break loose.
Yeah, especially from you.
The internet is gonna break.
Yeah, because you're gonna break it. But he didn't fucking. That's not how it happened in the Ultimate, right? Didn't Carnage kill her in Ultimate?
In Ultimate, she hasn't died.
What?
She's never died in Ultimate.
I thought I remember Carnage tearing her into four pieces somewhere. I don't know. I thought she died.
I'm gonna admit I haven't read those the whole run of the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Uh huh.
So I can't say for sure. Maybe she has.
In the current
series right now, she is alive.
Well,
and she's like a major part of the story.
Only thing I know, and again, this is third hand hearsay of my ADD addled brain, and I was told like years ago when she died in the ultimate Spider-Man series, she was torn into four pieces by Carnage. Now, I don't know. I mean, that's just what I was told. I could be completely wrong. And how about this, Manuel? Let's say that happens. Let's say that did happen, that she's back for some kind of cloning something. I don't know. But let's just say that happened and she did get torn apart. Would people have the right to flip the fuck out since this is obviously more based off of Ultimate Spider-Man?
No. Okay. I mean, whatever they decide to do, it is what it is.
You're right, Aaron.
Am I right?
Gwen Stacy dies in Ultimate Spider-Man number 62 before. She's killed by Carnage, a vampire. You know,
thank you. See, boom! Shit. I just schooled Manuel about comic books. But no, I'm not saying that. But here, that's what I'm saying, Manuel. Is maybe people that don't know what they're talking about might try to flip the fuck out, saying, "Oh, she didn't. He didn't die fighting the Green Goblin." People, but that just shows they don't know their shit, because this is based off of the Ultimates, and I am an idiot that doesn't know anything about comic books, and I knew better than that.
Yeah, so no, people, I mean, you're right in that the new movies are kind of taking a little bit more from the Ultimate Universe.
They're
kind of mixing it up. They're kind of mixing it up because,
well, then
you know, they're taking the best from each universe, and they're kind of making the perfect real world version as close to perfect as they can.
What if they do something like say that she's killed accidentally, and say that it's Norman that Norman or Harry or whomever does it, and it's not even a case of throwing pumpkin bombs or they just do something stupid and it accidentally kills her. Doesn't that still get the point across of the character to where Spider-Man carries that guilt? So I mean,
it does, but fans are gonna be
fans
I
are stupid.
People are gonna be listening to this when that happens. If she gets killed and it doesn't happen like it happened when Don Romero threw it, the internet is gonna freeze.
Well, we need to.
What fans are expecting is that she already has the same suit that we have all the argument or whatever. But what fans are expecting is Green Goblin is gonna fight with Spider-Man. She's gonna fall from the bridge. Spider-Man's gonna throw the spider web, and she's gonna snap her neck. That's what everybody's expecting. If it doesn't happen, and if it works, I'll be fine. But I guarantee you that the internet is gonna break in half.
Well, the internet can fuck off. But say that it's say that it's Electro that does that. Say that it's the Rhino that does. Excuse me. Say that Bane comes in for some dumb reason, and say that the same thing happens.
That'd
say that
be awesome.
Yeah, there you go. I have killed you all, but they knocks him off and whatever happens, one of those three or any myriad of character knocks her off the bridge, and he shoots the web at her and breaks her neck. Isn't that the important part?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so who gives a shit who does it? Is the way I see it. I don't know. I mean, because Spider-Man killed her. You know. I mean,
you know how fans are.
I do know how fans
you know
are.
Better.
We don't know better, but this movie again. I'm super excited. I'm super excited about Chris Cooper's Norman Osborn. I think I'm the only person in the world that's what they're walking away from this. They're all excited about, but that's my big thing, and I'm really excited to see that.
Let me make sure so I don't put my foot in my mouth. Is Chris Cooper the bad guy from The Bourne Identity?
I don't know if he was in that or not. Let's.
You haven't seen those movies?
No, I have, but I didn't like them, so I didn't. I don't really remember them.
I love those movies.
He's gonna say something else.
Well, I was about ready to say they sucked, yeah, but
he
I don't.
He was a bad guy in those.
It isn't fair to say they sucked, but it is fair to say I didn't like them. You know, here, let me look. Yeah. All right, yeah. But you saw the new Muppet movie, right?
Yeah, but I'm kind of drawing a blank right now.
He's bad guy. He rapped. He was awesome. He was in American Beauty. He was in Adaptation. He was in wasn't he in a Farrelly Brothers movie? I don't remember. Let's see.
Me, Myself, and Irene. Right?
Me, Myself, and Irene. He was in Me, Myself, and Irene. He was in.
That's a great.
Yeah, I like that movie. He was in The Bourne Identity. He was He was in The Patriot. That's right. I forgot about that. But yeah, he was in The Bourne Identity.
Now I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Right.
God damn. Wipe yourself up. But he's a very good actor. He's a really good, solid character actor, but that isn't a gimmicky character actor. I mean, he's just a good, solid, intelligent actor. And Academy Award winner from Adaptation. He was so good in that. He's an awesome actor, though. Awesome actor. So, well, let's see what happens. Okay, do we have any more news? Yeah. We're going to jump into our picks of the week.
Let's just jump on it.
Okay, who's going first?
I go?
You can go. Yep.
All right. I want to talk about a comic I just bought, but I think it's fitting. It's called Superman Unchained, number one.
Off the hook.
The first thing I'm going to say, it looks pretty damn badass. I mean, it looks beautiful from start to finish.
Jim Lee,
of course.
Yeah.
And I also want to say that it has a fold-out page. Mm. They just came out with this fold-out page, and I have to say that I'm very happy because they're using the medium of comic books in a whole different way, and something that I've never seen before, and made me really happy that they're actually taking chances. So I give them props for that. On the flip side, the way they did it is they stick the fold out page with a rubber glue, and it already fell apart on me, and I bought it an hour ago, so I'm pretty pissed off about that, but that's besides the point.
So I get digital, baby.
Yeah, man. But it still looks beautiful.
Yeah, how does digital work with that?
What's that?
How does digital work with the fold out page? I've always wondered that. Is it just
smaller?
It just
looks like a big image.
Yeah.
It just looks like a big game.
Scroll to the side.
Cool.
Okay, the story, let me see. I wrote a list. Hold on.
Whoa.
Okay, one thing I found about the book is, first of all, Scott Snyder wrote it. Oh, yeah. So we I already was excited.
Mm.
One thing I found
he wrote Zero Year too, right?
What's that?
Didn't he write Zero Year also?
He's the Batman writer.
Yes.
This is a fucking machine. Well, how much is he writing?
Yeah, this is. Oh, he's writing right now.
He's doing American Vampire still, I think, right?
American Vampire, and he's also writing The Wake with Sean Murphy.
That's a good one, too.
Anyway, what I found about the comic book is that it can be taken in a good way or in a bad way. It depends on what your preferences are. But I found it way too wordy. I mean,
too many words.
It's good to have a story, but it was ridiculous. I'll wait till you guys read it.
I'm not gonna read it.
But the way I see it is, it's good to have a good solid story, and it's good to make because it makes the money you spend for the book worth it. But when it starts getting in the way of the art, you know, like basically blocking large parts of the artwork, that's when, yeah, it's not working. It's a different medium. But anyway, I found it too wordy. Good or bad, I enjoyed it.
Too wordy?
I like wordy stuff.
Spoiler alert. This is a spoiler alert. So if you don't want to hear about this,
five, four,
press fast three, forward or don't listen.
Two,
to
one,
five,
spoiler.
Four, three, two, okay. There's a new Superman.
Holy shit! Is he black?
Apparently, he's he was found by the army 70 years ago. And he looks freaky. He looks like an alien, and he looks blue with red all over him. He looks crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he's been hidden. He's been doing work for the army for years. I don't know how nobody has ever noticed, but anyway. And Superman fell into something in the ocean, and now the army is worried that Superman might find out about this new Superman. And the guy said, "Well, the little powers that the Superman that everybody knows are nothing compared to the powers that the real Superman has." So that's all they give you, like a little hint. They don't give you that much. But he looks pretty cool. You know, the artwork, the action in the book is Superman basically doing what Superman does, is saving people, destroying things, and it looks pretty badass, man. Another thing I noticed about the book that I kind of don't understand, since this is the new 52 and they're trying to, you know, they're taking chances in a lot of things. I don't understand why they went with the choice of Lawrence Fishburne in the movie, you know, making a black Perry White, and why they didn't do that in the comic, since they're trying to tie everything together. And that I know it's the comics and it's not the same thing, but if you're gonna follow, you know, jump on the bandwagon of the movie, why not just go the extra mile, you know? Mm-hmm. And just, all right, this is the new 52. If you don't like it, deal with it. You know?
You know, it's always kind of bugged me about the whole, you know, the race thing with comic book fans. It's like, I don't remember there being such a big stink when Nick Fury was portrayed by Sam Jackson, you know? Like,
it's because everybody's scared of Sam Jackson. It's only...
That's true.
Well, what happened with Sam Jackson was that in the Ultimate Universe, the artist that was drawing the book took the chance, and they told him, "You gotta draw Nick Fury." They didn't give him any restrictions.
Yeah.
So he did it in the way that he looked like Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
So for the movies, they went, "All right, well, he's the Ultimate, looks like Sam Jackson. Why don't use Sam Jackson?" Since Sam Jackson is already a comic book fan, a lifelong comic book fan. That's the difference. But I get what you're saying. It's ridiculous. I mean,
I don't know.
He's a good actor, man. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Here's you know, Corey and I talked a little bit about this earlier today because of the Electro thing, because Corey, you know, made the same remark that, you know, yeah, people are pissed about his voice, but they're also more pissed that he's black. And here's where I stand, and, you know, again, you know, here comes my arrogance, but I think most people should stand. I think that the question they need to ask themselves every time they hear that they're recasting a character who was some other color into some other color, as they need to say, how does this affect the character? And, you know, okay, let's look at Electro. It doesn't. Okay, moving on. And then, you know, be like, okay, you know,
exactly.
Nick Fury, how does it? It doesn't. Moving on. Or, you know, Johnny Storm. What? Wait a minute. Well, Sue isn't black, so does that mean they're going to cast Sue as black? Does it mean that they're going to do this? Does it need to do that? Then it comes out from and then they come out and they say, you know, they say, no, he's going to be adopted. I'm like, okay, moving on. And, you know, to me, that's the only thing that ever gives me pause when I hear that they're going an untraditional way, you know, with casting. I mean, it's not like they're casting Black Panther as a white guy. I mean, I could see people getting pissed off about that, and probably rightfully so. But, you know, like with a lot of these characters, their race doesn't really have anything to do with the characters. And that's what always comes to mind for me, like whenever I hear that they're recasting. I'm just like, how does it affect the character? It doesn't. Okay, done. Moving on. And I don't know why everybody has to thinly veil their racism, you know?
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't know. Anyway, but they in the comic, yeah, I kind of thought if I was in charge of doing the comic book, I would have just gone ahead and do the Perry White that looks like the one in the movie, since the movie is gonna be, everybody knows it's gonna be a blockbuster success, cause obviously already selling like $100 million or even more, so, you know. But
I kind of
find that a little odd.
And again, I do find it funny that I do think that a lot of people do think about it my way, but they also, you know, like you know do like these ridiculous racist acrobatics to find something wrong with it, like the Heimdall thing was just ridiculous to me. It was ridiculous to me. They're all like, well, why would there be a black person in heaven? They're like, hey, come. No, okay. Why would there be a black person in Nordic, Norway? It's like, well, because they had black people in Norway, you know. And they're not just Aryan.
Well, if you follow Thor.
Or if you look at it in terms of just the comic books.
Heimdall wasn't black, but no. Hogan wasn't Asgardian.
Right.
And he was in Asgard. Hogan wasn't from another race, so... If you want to go that route, if you want to go like real anal about it, like, you can be like, all right, they have people from all over the realms, you know.
Well, I mean,
it wasn't just Asgardian.
If you look at Asgard in the traditional sense, it's Valhalla. It's where people go when they die after being great warriors and shit, and that would happen all over the world, yes. The way I see it is, who fucking cares? It's a stupid comic book. Move on. Right. That's the way I see it. I have never been upset about any casting ever. The only time I ever get upset is when they suck, and I'm like, okay, then I'm not happy. Other than that, I don't care. I mean, especially like the Johnny Storm thing. I heard that and I was all like, what? But I was like, what? Because I'm like, does that mean, like I said, it's like, are they going to cast Sue as a black chick? Are they going, what are they doing? He's like, well, they're going to make him adopted. I'm like, okay, that works. And that was that's the last I thought about it. That's all I needed to think about it. So, okay. Corey, yeah. What's your pick of the week? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, hold on. I wanted to mention two other things. One thing was the tech that they use, specifically Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen. Lois Lane is using
Lewis?
Technology. Lois Lane, yeah.
Did they rename her?
Yeah. She's, shut up.
I'm sure, but you're just...
No, Lois Lane is using,
Lois Lane, okay.
Lois Lane is using some technology like Tony Stark digital computers in the air. You know how they use that technology, like Minority Report? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, I know this is a comic book, but how in the hell can she afford technology like this? Not just me being anal, but I'm like,
that
hey.
Is you being anal. Like,
but that wasn't even the most shocking part. The most shocking part was that in the New 52, Jimmy Olsen is like a genius robotics wizard or something. Are you reading Superman, Corey?
Yes, I have.
Is he like some sort of genius or something?
Yeah, he's kind of like a savant.
Yeah, I wasn't reading that. And all of a sudden I saw Jimmy Olsen talking with Clark, and he has like some helicopter little spaceship running around him. And I'm like, what is going on in here?
So they changed.
Like, when did this happen? But yeah, I that kind of weirded me out. I was like, eh, I mean, it is what it is. It's a comic book. Yeah, I didn't understand that. I was like, I know they don't make that much money to have that type of technology. But anyway, I know that Superman quit the Daily Planet, and they talk about that in the new comic, which is pretty cool. And they also, another thing I noticed was that this supposedly they have this city underwater. It's like a military city where they keep the new Superman. And it came to mind, how does Aquaman doesn't know about this? They have a underwater city, and Aquaman don't know about it. He just lets it happen.
We don't know. They don't know about it. It's the first issue. So.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Maybe we'll find out more. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird. But overall, it's a beautiful book, and the only thing I didn't like was a $4.99 price tag. That hurts. But hopefully they lowered
it. I'm here for you. So.
Yeah, man. Hopefully they lowered the price in the next one. But yeah.
Was it a thick book? Or?
It was a what?
Was it like a thicker book?
That's not really, man. I mean, it's a little thicker because of the fold out page, and it has an interview in the back, and it has a lot of ads and stuff. But not really. It's 22 pages or 20 pages. It ain't like a. Like the All Star Western, they had two stories or something like that.
Right. Yeah, if God's got it, I just haven't read it. Like, I have this big stack I got today. I just haven't got around to reading them. But what I have been reading is, and I just got into, and that's a few years old, is I've started reading The Trades of Scalped, which is an amazing story. Have you read Scalped?
No, I haven't.
The Vertigo one? So, like, Indians on a reservation, and it's really deep, you know. And it starts off as like this angry Indian dude who's just like beating the shit out of people, and this corrupt Indian chief is building a casino, and he wants him to be one of his head security guys. Which, and this Indian chief's like really corrupt, but what the Indian chief fails to realize is that the guy is actually an FBI agent undercover, sent down to bring him down, and there's all sorts of like intrigue and backstabbing, and the Indian chief had an affair with the guy's mom, and there's always implications that he might be the actual father, you know, and it's all really dark and good stuff. It's set like 9 trades right now. I'm halfway through the second one. It's really good. Like, I mean, Jesus, it's just like I've been, it's like you want everything in a moment of peace. I just sit there and read it. And like, oh, but yeah, it's like, holy shit. I've almost been late to clock into work because I've been sitting there reading it on my fucking Kindle Fire. It's like, oh shit, it's almost time to clock in.
Who's the artist on that thing? On that book?
Let me just double check that. Hold on.
Is it Albuquerque?
I think it might be.
Albuquerque.
Rafael Albuquerque, yeah. He paints Rafael Albuquerque is the artist on American Vampire. I know who do you say wrote that story? That's Jason Aaron, right?
Yes, Jason Aaron, yeah.
Yeah, I would tell you why everybody loves him, and I was liking his storytelling, and he's
very brutal with his storytelling. Like,
and yeah, he's very meticulous, man. He likes to do a lot of research, and he knows what he writes about. But
the guy named R.M. Guerra is his name. It's like almost like a painted style. Which
yes,
is crazy.
Yes, it is.
It's R.M. Guerra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Aaron was writing the new Thor movie. He is writing the new Thor series. I'm not enjoying it. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome, but it's just too dragged down, man. I think I might just drop that. But yeah, I'm sorry. I digress. You, it's your turn.
No, it's good. It's just
now what is this?
Like, you can tell, like he just takes his time with it. You know, like he's laying out all these seeds and all these like, you know, storylines and whatnot. It's a comic series called Scalped, Aaron.
Scoffed?
It's scalp.
Oh, scalp. Okay.
I see. How the Indians used to scalp the.
Yeah, like as in past tense.
Yeah.
Scalped. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
But corruption on an Indian reservation.
Hmm.
It's good stuff.
Cool.
I'll have your link.
Very cool. Very cool. Alrighty.
So what's your pick?
My pick is going to be a weird pick because Manuel cracked open the floodgates last weekend, last time we did this, because, you know, he started talking about binding comic books. And so, you know, I think when we first started, talking about this, the idea was going to be, this is going to be something that we're going to encourage you to read, something that we like, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's all like, yeah, this week I'm bounding my comic books. And so then that opens us up to a myriad of possibilities, you know, versus just something I liked. So what I decided to do was I decided to give everybody a little bit of an education here. Everybody likes to, you know, like the way that the comic book, you know, fandom works, the comic book marketplace works is, you know, you can either read stuff as it comes out, you can read it, you know, like, you know, as it hits the shelf or the digital release comes out, or, you know, you hear about a story. You hear about a story through word of mouth, like, hey, that sounds interesting, and let's go check it out. I'm going to go something like that, but I'm going to take it a different direction. This isn't something good. This is something bad. It's something I don't like. But what I've decided to do is this is going to be an education for people. Everybody hears people, Manuel and I's age, and, you know, maybe a little older, a little bit younger, talk about the horrible decadent time of the 1990s in comic books. They were not a good time in comic books. They were just, in terms of stories and.
Well, there was good and bad.
There was good and bad, but in a lot of people's estimation, and, you know, humbly in mind too, there's probably more bad than good. I mean, there's just a lot of dumb stuff happening, and people that don't understand that, Corey actually seems a little wiser than his years than most people would, to be as young as him, because I think that he probably understands like how bad the 90s were. But if you wanted to read a comic book that really does personify everything that was wrong with comic books in the 1990s, I will humbly submit a comic book series that came out in 1996. April to May of 1996, I'm talking the DC versus Marvel crossover.
Oh boy.
That was
an awful
comic book. I mean, it is remarkable how bad this comic is, okay? You name it, like something that the people that like to complain about the 90s, and at least when they complain and they're complaining correctly, it literally hits every fucking note. I mean, people like to complain about the 90s, complain things about the 90s is they'll bring in new characters, and the way that they prove the way that they try to pump up the new characters, especially with villains, is they make them be able to beat the bad guy. Or I'm sorry, to beat, Bane comes in and kills Batman, or beats up Batman. Doomsday shows up and kills Superman and shit like that. Well, kind of the whole entire problem with the Marvel versus DC is there's these two, henceforth unheard of characters that are personifications of the DC and the Marvel universes. They're big gods, and they could, fart out an existence of somebody like, Galactus or whomever, they're effectively gods. They become aware of each other. And it's supposed to be all existential and stuff, but it's actually just stupid. They're big god things that hang out in space, and they were been around since before the beginning of time, and they just now became aware of each other, and they start battling. And so the DC universe and the Marvel universe crosses over, right? And so naturally, what do you do with that? But you have everybody fight each other. And so there comes the part two about everything that's wrong with the 1990s and comic books. It was the goddamn gimmick. Okay, and that's exactly what was going on. You had, I want to say, 6 or 8 battles in this book. That what was dumb about it was these battles were figured out by popular demand. People got a vote for how these battles turned out. So you had the fights of Aquaman versus Namor, Elektra versus Catwoman, Flash versus Quicksilver, Robin versus Jubilee, Silver Surfer versus Green Lantern, Thor versus Captain Marvel, Batman versus Captain America, Spider-Man versus Superboy, Wolverine versus Lobo, Storm versus Wonder Woman, and Superman versus Hulk, okay? Now, I just named off some big-ass battles, right? I mean, you could just see the destruction in a fight between Superman and the Hulk, leveling cities and stuff. Every one of these fucking fights, every single one of these fights was less than a page. Every single one of them. A couple of them were 2 panels. And I don't know. I really hated the fact that it was figured out by democracy. You called a 900 number and you said, who would win in a fight, Superman or whoever. And I'm not complaining because I'm more of a DC guy than a Marvel guy, and more of the Marvel people won. I don't care about that. I just thought that the call-in system was weak. My biggest problem with it was the fact that, this is stuff that, that people have been dreaming about for, at that point, 25 years. Ever since, they're all like, well, hell, Hulk and Superman? Holy crap, what would happen if those two fight? And it was just a couple of pages, and the art was stupid, and it was just not cool. And this is just if you really want to see what people are talking about, go out and pick up this trade. Just go out and pick up this trade and see what I'm talking about. I mean, every bad thing.
If you can find it.
What's that? If you can find it?
If you can find it.
Can you not find it? It's
kind of tough to find.
Oh, is it? Well, contact me, and I'll sell it to you for a pretty penny. But, if you can find it, I mean, you guys have read this or not?
Yeah, unfortunately.
It is. Am I wrong? Is it not just really, really bad?
It was good because when I was reading at 3 a.m, I was really fucking tired.
Yeah.
So I was reading with one bloodshot eye.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on who reads it. If it's somebody that has any kind of sense and knows comic books, or knows what a good story is, they won't like it. If it's a kid, that just picks up a random comic book, he'll love it because he's the like favorite, six, his favorite character.
Like a 6 year old, maybe. But I'm talking like this. I mean, like, you know, a kid's going to mature out of a story like this at like 8, 9 years old. They'd be like, oh, come on. You know, I want to watch the Hulk and Superman fight, and I want it to be longer than 3 panels, you know? I mean, that's. I know. Yeah, they just ridiculous. tried to do too much. And like, and some of the fights were goddamn ridiculous. I'm not even going to talk about outcomes. Outcomes, you know, the outcomes of this book are irrelevant to me because they were voted on. That's irrelevant to me. But like the fight of Jubilee versus Robin made me want to shoot people. It was so. Do you remember that fight? They kind of, you know, like they kind of tumbled. And but before they ever fought, because you know everybody knew they had to fight in order to, you know, to let their universe win or, you know, whatever. And so Jubilee and Robin knew they had to fight, and they had like, you know, a little crush on each other. And so, you know, they fought for 2 or 3 panels, and he like, you know, playfully pins her to the ground. It's like, oh my God, Robin, you won! I mean, it was just despicable. And if you want to read everything, it's bad.
Sex.
I mean, they probably did.
You want a good example of a DC and Marvel crossover? Find Teen Titans and the X-Men.
Is that good?
That was that's the best crossover you'll find.
I didn't know they did DC crossovers besides this.
Yeah, GLA Avengers is pretty good too.
I didn't know they did any crossovers beyond this. Huh? But you know,
but Teen Titans and the X-Men, yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Okay, well, I mean, this kind of turned me off to all crossovers because I'm like, this is so awful. And they did this stupid thing after the fight where I don't even remember, I don't care, but they did this thing to where like a bunch of the characters combined, like Batman and Wolverine turned into one character called Dark Claw.
Amalgam.
The Amalgam, yeah, and that was like an issue. Yeah, Dark Claw, and then they had
the duck.
Yeah, and they had Frick. He did look like a duck, and then they had
Lobo the duck. Though.
What?
That was one of them. Where Lobo and Howard the Duck crossed over.
Yeah, Lobo the duck. That's right. That's right.
Lobo the duck.
So. Yep. And then they had the Joker and Sabretooth.
I don't know if you remember. It was like 10 years ago, but they had the Stan Lee's What If?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
DC Universe.
Why is Stan Lee created the DC Universe?
Yeah, I remember those. That was
glad he didn't.
That sucked too.
Yeah,
it was bad.
It was pretty bad. Jim Lee did one of those. Jim Lee did the Wonder Woman one, I think. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was, but he was talking about it on Fat Man on Batman. He did do one of them. It seemed like it was the Wonder Woman one. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, that's my pick for the week is the DC versus Marvel run in 1996. It's a lesson to be learned, you know. I mean, this is everything that was wrong with comic books, and shows you how lucky you are now when you have stuff like Court of the Owls going on, and you have, you know, the you know, talents like Jim Lee and Jeff Johns and all these people working. I mean, this is a bad, bad time. Go ahead, Manuel.
You know how your pig is connected to the Superman.
My
to
pig?
Superman.
My pig. My pig.
Your pig.
Do I know how it's picked?
You're picked for a spotlight.
Lewis Lane, too.
Yeah, no, it's connected because your pick is a Bizarro spotlight.
Yeah, it's a Bizarro spotlight. Well, it's, I mean, inverse. Superman was in it.
Lewis Lane.
Yeah, Lewis Lane.
Yeah, yeah.
Superman was in it. And he fought the Hulk and won, so whatevers. But, you know, yeah, so if you want to see everything that's wrong with the DC comics, or I'm sorry, comics of the 1990s, you want it taken care of in like 6 issues, so you don't have to kill yourself reading a decade's worth, pick this up and that'll show you everything. I mean, this is comic book writing and art and storyline and crossover and fan meddling and everything. And this is everything that is bad about comic books in 6 little simple issues. So yeah, pick it up if you want to rip your head off.
And they wonder why they don't really listen to the fans that much anymore.
Look what happened when the fans meddled there. I mean, it was awful. I mean, it was just like, I mean, there were some of the fights that it was like, okay, whatever. But some of them that you're just like, what the fuck? You know, like to be honest, there was only one fight that I was like, you know, if this doesn't go this way, then I'm going to be really angry. And that was Quicksilver versus the Flash. And I'm like, there's no fucking way Quicksilver can beat the Flash. Quicksilver runs really fast. The Flash, you know, manipulates time and space. And luckily the Flash did win. But, you know, some of them were kind of dumb. Like, fucking Storm beat Wonder Woman, just beat the shit out of her, and like, and again, like three panels. That was ridiculous. Batman and Captain America, they fought into a tie, so you don't even
that
get
was a tie.
Yeah, which but also in the tie, at the end of the tie, Captain America's like, yeah, you won, and Batman's like, yeah, I did. So I mean, it was a tie, but it was really Batman's victory. The Hulk versus. It was two people, and I hadn't heard of either of them to go, but that is
they probably never got work again.
Ron Mars and Peter David.
Ron Mars?
What?
Yeah, Ron Mars and Peter. I don't know these people. Why, do you guys know them?
They're, yes, they're big names.
Well, they suck. You know, at least they sucked in this.
He's even giggling at schoolgirl over there.
It's just not a good book. I mean, maybe they've grown. Maybe they've grown and they've learned from their mistakes, but this is awful. And it was penciled by Dan Jurgens and Claudio Castellini, something like that. So, but you know Ron Mars and Peter David, huh?
It's all that talent.
And you,
that Jurgens,
you knew these Jurgens and Castellini? I don't know, man. It was bad. I didn't like it, but if you want to read it and just see everything that was wrong, then whew, this is a tough one. So, okay. Are we done talking there? Do we want to actually talk some Superman now that we've been talking for an hour and a half?
Let's do it.
Okay. I think the way we should start out talking about Superman is each of us goes around the room and talks, you know, their basic thoughts about Superman, what they think about the character. Do they like him? Do they dislike him? Stuff like that. And for shits and giggles, why don't we throw in our favorite Superman film to date, okay? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because I have probably less knowledge about Superman than Corey.
Oh wow. Okay. Then I have less than
you. What's that?
I said, and I have less than you. So go ahead.
I like Superman. You know, Superman is one of those characters that is one of the most recognizable characters in any kind of medium, and he represents all that every human strive for. You know, he represents superhuman strength, ability to fly. You know, which human hasn't dreamed of that? And I think he's probably right up there with Captain America as the most important character for each company, for the simple fact that he's basically the heart of Superman is the heart of DC Comics. It don't matter who, what character we're talking about, they all look up to Superman, even Batman.
Kind of.
And that says a lot, you know. Batman don't respect anybody. He does whatever he wants, but even Batman knows that Superman is like, you know, he has to listen to Superman, you know. And yeah, I love Superman. I think that he's been mistreated in the comic book medium for a long time. For some reason, writers, they try to do too much, and he's a character that you don't have to do a lot with, you know. Don't try to change him too much. Just stick to his strengths and just, you know, ride around that. Don't try to go against the wheel, you know. If it's worked all these years, it's you know, it's gonna keep working. Superman is who he is.
Favorite what Superman was film?
That?
What's your favorite Superman
film? Yeah. I don't know, man. I liked them for what they are, but I never liked a Superman film like that much.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Superman Return movie, people hate it. Most people hate it. I kind of liked it, you know.
I want to talk Superman Returns in like depth in a little bit, but because I'm kind of right there with you.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it for what it was. And I think Brandon Routh takes a lot of crap from people, comic book fans, and you know, everybody, you know, in general, what? And I think he did a good job, you know.
You know what, man?
I think that movie was a love letter to the Donner films, yep, you know.
I do too. Do you know what, Manuel? And, you know how I like to complain about people complaining about shit? That's just like kind of what I do. Is I complain about people just bitching and moaning about everything, and I'm just all like, you know, what the fuck?
Second time you said that.
I do. That's what I do, right? I am actually proud of people for Brandon Routh, because I do think that Brandon Routh doesn't get that much shit. Not that much. I do remember after Cavill was cast, there was like a lot of people like, oh, come on, give Brandon Routh another go. And, you know, because a lot of people did recognize that as a strange movie. And Brandon Routh was working within some very restricting confines, you know? So, yes. I mean, I was actually proud of people for that, because, you know, they're like one of the few situations where I actually agreed with the masses, and, you know, they weren't being shitty about Brandon Routh. I was proud of that. So, okay, cool. So, Returns is your favorite, huh? Okay.
Yeah. I like Returns. I know that as soon as I watch this new movie, that was just going to be my favorite, but I haven't seen it yet, so as of now, Returns is my favorite.
This might be a personal question, but when did you move to the States? How old were you when you moved?
Around 5 years ago.
Oh, so okay. Then that makes a lot of sense to me. Okay. Okay.
Why?
Well, because you probably, and again, I don't know, because, you know, I've never been to Puerto Rico. I don't live in Puerto Rico. I didn't live in Puerto Rico for 28 years or whatever. But Superman is just gigantic here, and for the longest time before the days of Blade and stuff, I mean, there was, you know, there was the Batman movie and this, and like the first two Superman movies, those were it, you know. Those were like movies that you could count, you know, that you could count to see on anybody's VHS shelf, and, you know, they were very important to a lot of people in America. And maybe for whatever reason that wasn't in Puerto Rico, I don't know. Or maybe it's just your personal taste, because I know that we often talk on Confessions of a Movie Snob. We say that some of the two most important castings in comic book history have been Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. It was very important. It kind of got us to where we are in the Marvel movies. And we also say that, yes, that Chiklis as the Thing was super important, because it was the only thing that held those reprehensible movies together. But we say that the grandfather of all that was Christopher Reeve, because for a generation, mm-hmm, that's the only person any of us could think about as Superman. I mean, there was even the Lois and Clark TV show, and you had Dean Cain playing Superman. We're like, fuck that, where's Christopher Reeve? And, you know, and at the time he was paralyzed, and, you know, we're still like, you know, fuck that, we, you know. So I mean, he's very important to us, and maybe it's a cultural thing, maybe it's just a Manuel thing, but almost everybody I know is all like, yeah, the Superman movies aren't that good, but boy are they important to me when I was a kid. So I don't know.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's about it. That's I don't know. I want to hear what Corey has to say.
I do too.
Superman to me has always been like, it's always been the hopeful guy. Like, he just epitomizes optimism and hope. And mm-hmm. To me, now I've always found intriguing about him. And I like Superman, but it was always fun intriguing to me. He always has to walk that fine balance, you know, of walking on eggshells to protect us, you know, because if he wanted to, he could just destroy us all. You know, it's just how he deals with his, you know, humanity and trying to find his humanity. That's always been the key to me right there. That's what's always been amazing about Superman. And, you know, this new movie is going to be, I have a feeling it's going to be something special right here. And it looks like they've almost nailed his humbleness, you know, like, you know, most superheroes, when they go out and save people, they're all like, oh yeah, we're awesome, you know, but Superman just does it because it's the right thing to do, you know. And and my favorite Superman movie has to be All-Star Superman. That's like,
is that awesome, the one movie right, was there, that the one of Supergirl?
Oh, animation.
The one with Supergirl, yeah, and there's that fight.
Counts as a movie.
Yeah, it does.
I know. I'm just saying. That's a different choice. I like it.
The one with Supergirl, Corey, where they fought on the farm and there's all the shit flying around, and Was that that one?
That's Superman Batman Apocalypse.
Ah, I love that movie.
I like that one quite a bit too. I like that one quite a bit too.
Well, I'll show Superman. That's my favorite Superman story of all time. There just captured all like his invulnerability and his vulnerability, and you know this all the dichotomies of the character. That was like the perfect storyline right there for me, for Superman so far. And I just love that, and they transcended beautifully onto animation. So
I don't think I've seen this one.
Yes, I know it's a Frank Quietly drawn book.
Condom stuffed with hamburger.
Let me pull the Rob Layfield picture again.
Hey, watch it.
That was funny.
I don't care.
How old were you when you got into comics, Manuel?
I was, I think my first comic, I bought it when I was 14, I think.
Okay, so you're a little bit past the Death of Superman age.
I was just around that time.
Yeah, well, I think
it was just
Death of Superman was around that time. Death of Superman was 92.
That's the year I started collecting. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was gonna say because that's kind of like what got me collecting, was the Death of Superman. And I was, you know, in 92, I would have been 12, I think, 11 or 12, and 13. I don't fucking remember. But I was an 11 or 12 year old with 11 or 12 year old sensibilities. So the idea like, holy shit, they're gonna kill Superman, and I've heard that comic books are worth a lot of money, and I'm gonna buy the Death of Superman, and I'm gonna retire off this bitch when I'm 18, and you know, like have a mansion, stuff like that. So I got into it. I started reading all this stuff. And, you know, I was also, I'm not going to call myself a huge Superman fan, but I liked him. Don't get me wrong. I watched Super Friends and stuff when I was a kid. I loved the Donner movies. I liked all the movies. And, you know, like I liked the Richard Lester one. Superman Quest for Peace, I proudly never liked that one. It's actually, it's a big guilty pleasure movie of Ethan. It was the first movie that he saw when he moved to Lawrence from Nebraska. So it's got a soft spot in his heart. But yeah, I went out and I bought the Death of Superman. I'm like, oh shit, you know, they're killing the biggest comic book character of all time. To this day, one of my favorite ever Saturday Night Live skits was a skit that they did. It was the funeral of Superman, and it was awesome. They had like, you know, like Phil Hartman was there playing Lex Luthor, and he was just laughing his ass off. He's like, oh yeah, I feel really bad, and like there's people up there eulogizing, and Chris, and I know it's a Marvel character, but shut up. Chris Farley was up there playing the Hulk, right? And so he goes up there to eulogize him, and he says, Hulk, not good words, Hulk, write down. And he pulls out this piece of paper, and he just reads off this just this eloquent, beautifully written speech about, you know, how he stood for everything that was wonderful in this world and blah, blah, blah. And, like, it was kind of cool because it ended with – I can't remember who was playing Lois Lane. I can't remember who was playing her in the skit, but it ended with her saying, oh, where's Clark? And then, you know, it faded to an old, you know, Art Deco pop panel. And you know, it was a great little skit. Look it up on Saturday. It's probably on Hulu. You'd have to do a lot of digging, but it's on there somewhere. It's a good one. So, you know, I kind of had that nostalgic thing going for Superman, but I was always a bigger Batman fan than Superman. I'm still a bigger Batman fan than Superman. I have more appreciation for Superman than I have love for Superman. You know, like I really learned to love the Batman character over the years. I think Superman is such a hard character to get right. Because, you know, people want to, like, I don't know if you've ever read it, but Superman at Earth's End is probably one of the worst comic books I've ever read in my life. It is fucking god awful. He looks like Santa Claus with a gun. Type that into Google and look at the coverage. It's awful. But, that's what they like
that's
to
the
do.
One where he gets a beard.
He has a big beard and he has white hair.
He has like a beard.
Yeah, and he's got this big gun. It's ridiculous. It's awful. But people like to meddle with Superman, and Superman should be fundamentally simple. You know, Superman, you know, he should be, you know, feeling like the outsider. He should be, you know, like trying not to, you know, lord over us, but, you know, kind of be there to guide us and stuff like that. But for whatever reason, people feel the need, you know, to kill him or to make him evil or to, hey, let's take away his powers or, hey, let's give him more powers or let's do this. And I don't know, just something about the character, something about the simplicity of the character makes people not get him, which I think is crazy. I like the character okay. I was had one of my cockamamie half-brained schemes a couple weeks ago. I said something to these guys after playing Injustice: God Among Us, and I said, I wonder if Superman has outlived his usefulness in DC Comics. And I say that because, you know, I can't think of a time that Superman felt more relevant than when he's a threat. And Superman, I have lots of pet peeves when it comes to stories, and I think my number one pet peeve is the Deus Ex Machina, the character who is always there to fix everything. And, you know, I felt the same way in, you know, Harry Potter about Dumbledore. I felt, you know, I feel the same way about Jean Grey and X-Men, the character that's always there, the one that always fixes everything. And it just feels like that. And it's always felt like that in DC to me. You know, like, no matter what problems you got Superman on your side. How bad could things be? And so, like, when they turn him into a threat, this is by far the first time they've ever turned him into a threat. I know that. But when they turn him into a threat, he feels more relevant to me. And I don't know, he's a interesting character to me. I don't like reading him because unfortunately he's consistently not good. His comics are just consistently not good. They're a fucking mess. I mean, Manuel is just talking about they changed him and they did this and they did that. And, you know, and I mean, I think anybody that's read any comic book can tell some story where they screwed up Superman. So it's just kind of weird. Yeah. It's just kind of weird to me. And this is one last thing, and then we'll move on. But I've always found the Superman Lex Luthor dichotomy to be a little weird and yucky. Okay, because I look at the whole Superman Lex Luthor dichotomy. The same way that I look at, you know, why everybody loves Batman, okay? Everybody loves Batman because they have it in their brains that, you know, if they had the right training, if they had enough money, if they had the technology, if they had the motivation, they have it in them to be Batman, to be a hero. You cannot ever, in any way, shape, or form, ever turn out to be Batman. I'm sorry, a Superman. You can't do it. You aren't born on Krypton. You can't fly. You can't leap buildings in a single bound. You don't got heat vision, you know, blah blah blah. You can never strive to be Superman. And so his big villain is a very Batman-like character. You know, he's human. He's super smart. He's got the motivation. He's got the technology. He's got, you know, he's got that. And so you look at Superman as the ultimate outsider, right? You know, he's the big, you know, he's the ultimate outsider. He's the alien. He's not from here. He's the one that saves us. And his biggest nemesis is effectively us. And that's always sat kind of funny with me. I mean, does that make any sense at all, what I just said?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, I'm not saying that it means fuck this character, but it's just something I've always noticed because, you know, like, because, you know, I'm the same way, you know, like, you know, I like Batman because it's, you know, it's believable to a certain degree, but, you know, I could never be Superman, no matter what. I could not be Superman. And I think it's strange that, you know, this character who is supposed to be, you know, the personified American, you know, he's the ultimate immigrant, and, you know, his big nemesis is people like you and me. And it's all like, so what the fuck does that say about me if, you know, I'm more like the bad guy than the good guy? It's weird. Superman film wise, my favorite is probably always going to be Superman 2, and that is because the fight versus Superman and Zod, and the Kryptonians when they're throwing buses and shit at each other, was by far, for a very long time, the best comic book fight ever on screen. I wouldn't even listen to an argument against that fight until, like, the fight of in the second Blade movie, when Blade is fighting the uber vampire guy and they're like breaking marble and just like all over the place. I love Blade 2. But like the fight with Zod versus the Kryptonians and Zod and Nar and it's a great fucking fight. And There's the whole infamous thing that happened where Dick Donner got fired from the first Superman, and Richard Lester took over. Richard Lester gets a lot of shit, but Richard Lester has consistently been one of my favorite directors throughout history, and so I do really like what he did with Superman 2. Superman 3 isn't very good, but Superman 2 is always going to have a soft spot in my heart, and Man of Steel will probably overtake it. I'm not going to be an idiot here, but Superman 2 has a long time been my favorite Superman flick. Okay, now moving on. What do we think? What are our thoughts right now? 2 days before the Man of Steel, what are we expecting? What do we expect? What do we want? What do we think we're gonna get? How are we gonna keep this? How are we gonna keep this realistic? What's going on? What are your thoughts?
I'm thinking this movie is gonna do to the Superman franchise what The Dark Knight did for Batman. It's going to be a cultural phenomenon. It's going to be like, you're going to see thousands of people wearing Superman shirts and being the quote-unquote number one Superman fan ever. And I think it's going to be, it's a good time to be a Superman fan or a comic book fan right now. I think this movie is definitely going to change the whole DC cinematic universe for the good, and this movie will be the I think Batman Begins was the Iron Man of the Marvel universe. Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase that. I think Batman Begins was to the DC cinematic universe what Iron Man was to the Marvel cinematic universe, and I think this movie will be what Avengers was to the DC universe, simply because this is the movie where everything is going to start taking shape. This is the movie where they're already giving hints that they're going to be Easter eggs, Wayne Enterprises, yeah. And you know, they're going to start shaping the universe right now. The Dark Knight trilogy was a separate universe. It was something in itself, and it ended. This is going to be the beginning of the universe, and I think it's going to be a pretty big deal.
Okay, Corey.
What do you think, Corey?
I think this is the start of something good, actually. You know, like it's just all coming together, and I think that competition drives success, I think, a little bit. So.
A little bit, huh?
Marvel's put up some pretty decent competition.
Yeah. You can't, dude, you can say you don't like... DC's come... you can say that you don't like the Marvel movies you want, that's fine, but don't be blasé about them. They are an unparalleled success, dude. You cannot say they aren't. I'm not asking you to say you like them, but if you're saying that they're...
I'm not saying they weren't.
Okay, I mean, because you're like, they did pretty good. Bullshit, just they did pretty good.
Successful, I'll admit it.
I'm fucking, The Avengers is the number three movie of all time. The Avengers is the number three movie of all time. Iron Man 3 is the number five movie of all time. They're a little bit more than kind of successful. I mean, they're huge. But yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The point is, this is driving DC. Me giggling at over there, Mr. Rowe.
Mr. Rowe.
Bastard.
It's going to be something good, you know. Everybody's firing all cylinders over there, so I just kind of hope to see what the future holds now, too. And I really want to see a Flash movie by Zack Snyder. That'd be great.
You want to see a Flash movie by Zack Snyder?
Yeah. Because it's all the, he can do the slow motion and the running and all that, too. That's just me. I've been thinking about that one for a while. But
I doubt Zack Snyder's going to do it. Zack Snyder's gonna do it, but I'm sure that's already in the talks.
I could see, I never thought about it, but I could see Zack Snyder doing, Flash makes a hell of a lot more sense to me than Superman. So, huh. But you know, hey, it looks like he did a pretty good job. I'm, you know, again, I really don't know what to think about this movie. There's just something. I mean, and I I'm being so pessimistic about this movie. I mean, I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just scared. I'm optimistic because I see stuff that looks good, but there's just certain things that I'm kind of like weird about. Like I'm kind of starting to wonder about the characterization of Clark Kent. I'm kind of wondering because we haven't seen shit about that in the trailers or anything. The only things we've seen has been like young Clark Kent on the run when he's got his hobo beard, you know, like that Clark Kent. But you know, I'm kind of curious about, and I got a hobo beard myself, but what I'm talking about is, you know, the dork Clark Kent, the working at the Daily Planet Clark Kent, the Clark Kent with the glasses and the fumbling all, or whatever it is he chooses to do. I don't know if he's going to be fumbling all over himself or, you know, how he's going to personify it, but we haven't seen anything like, I haven't seen anything about that in the, and have you?
About what?
About the Daily Planet Clark Kent. I haven't seen it. I haven't even seen him in glasses and street clothes. The only thing I've seen is the stuff when he's working on the fishing boat and he's wearing the Jayhawk sweatshirt and shit like that. So, I mean,
yeah, I haven't seen any footage of him being Clark Kent.
And I'm curious about
being a reporter or anything like that.
Maybe they won't do that till the end of the movie. And well, I guess I'd be fine with
perhaps
that.
Perhaps he's not going to be a dork in this.
Excuse me?
What's that?
Say it again, Corey. Do we drop that fuckhole?
Corey!
Come on, Corey. What'd you say?
I'm here, asshole.
You said maybe he's not going to be what?
I'm here, you assholes.
What did you say?
I don't know.
You said maybe he's not going to be.
I heard you call me fuckhole and all that, too. I said maybe he's not going to be a reporter until the very end.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been kind of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's not going to be a reporter until like the very end. It sets up the sequel.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know, because at the beginning of the movie, he's, you know, lost and
it
trying to.
Be fine with me.
Yeah,
to...
I'm fine with it.
He
I'm
doesn't
just...
need to have.
I'm just curious what they're going to do with it. I just, you know, again, I said it in the intro. I'm going to say
it's
it.
It's going to be amazing.
I hope.
We're hours away now, at least I am.
Yeah, well, I could go at midnight, but I'm too old for that shit. Get off my lawn. But I'm looking forward to Zod. I know that Ethan was not a fan of the idea of Zod being the bad guy in this because we've seen him before. I get that. I totally get that train of thought that we've seen him before. I'd like to see, you know, he said he'd like to see, you know, Brainiac or, you know, any myriad of Superman baddies. And I like Zod so much that I want to see him again. And when I found out it was Michael Shannon, I was just through the roof. I love Michael Shannon. He's a really excellent actor. So I was excited to see that and everything. I don't really like his dumb little goatee, but again, that's so irrelevant to me. I don't care. But it'll be cool to see. I thought it was stupid that you guys were around for the stupid criticism of Henry Cavill because they have a non-American playing Superman, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was the
like,
Jesus.
You know, Superman.
Isn't Christian Bale
Batman
from
British.
Europe?
He's Wales. Yeah, there's no argument that goes Superman's British, Batman's British, Spider-Man's British. We're American heroes and all.
Spider-Man's not British.
Who cares?
Spider-Man's not. Yeah.
Well, I mean, no. Andrew Lincoln, what the hell is his name? Andrew Garfield's not, he was born in England, but he was raised here.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, you know, because, like, when they announced him.
Fanboys don't understand that.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is, like, when they announced it and there was all this, you know, boo, he's not American, they went out of their way to say that he is American. You know, he was, like, born on a military base or something like that, but he's American. But my thing about it is, Superman isn't American. So he's Kryptonian, and we can't really cast Kryptonians.
Exactly.
And it's also acting. So, I mean, I just, yeah, that was ridiculous to me.
And I mean, I don't care if the guy is from the moon or if the guy is from Africa or China. Henry Cavill looks exactly like Superman.
I don't care what he looks
down
like.
Down to the blue eyes, his physique. He is Superman. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. So they can criticize all they want. But the guy, I
don't even care about
perfect for the role, man.
I don't even care about the visuals of it. What I care about is the movie. And if it's all like, you know, boo, he's the moon man. I like the idea of him being from the moon. So I'm going to pretend like he came from the moon instead of wherever. He's English, right? Yeah, wherever he's from. I'm going to pretend like he's from the moon. But, yeah, that was ridiculous to me because, you know, Superman is, you know, is what he is. But one thing he is certainly not is American. I mean, that's the whole point of him is he's an outsider. So
exactly. It's so ridiculous.
Okay. Oh, man. Now, here's what I want to talk about. We were...
Lewis Lane.
Yeah, and Lewis Lane. But we talked a little bit in the intro about Superman Returns. I'll hold on a second. Fucking goddamn Corey.
What is he doing?
Masturbating.
Henry Cavill, I can't quit you, Henry Cavill.
Fuck are you talking to? So.
You okay, man? How'd it go?
Something happened.
Must have known somebody that had something done because he wanted to know how it went. Jesus Christ.
Who took the order? Yeah.
Oh, you know what I do like? Another thing I like about the Man of Steel movie, the General Zod and all his army, the uniforms that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that looks bad. They look badass.
Yep.
It looks really, really cool.
I kind of like the look of the I like the look of the what you call it, the his outfit. I kind of like how it has like kind of a chainmail look to it. It actually kind of pisses me.
Chainmail, yeah.
It kind of annoys me that the T-shirts don't look like that. You know, what I mean, like I've seen a Man of Steel T-shirt and like the S looks like that, but the rest of it doesn't. So I'm like, screw that. So.
Yeah, it's a print. Yeah. I see what you're saying. I bought one of them.
I kind of like the S. Sucks that I'm saving money for August, but okay, once I get to the convention, I'm going to blow my load over there.
Are you gracing us with your presence again?
I don't know if you have, like, you know, buses where you're at.
Buses?
Oh, sorry, I had to take a phone call.
So. Yeah, I noticed. But you just jumped right back in.
Have you seen the bus ads for Man of Steel?
I haven't, but I've seen them on. I've seen online. I mean, they don't have buses here in the sticks.
Like,
we have.
There's bus ads. There's like they have the S without the yellow on it. It's just like black and red.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty slick right there. So. It's just I don't know.
All right. Well.
Sorry about that, guys.
Okay. No.
Let's jump in.
Now, I go, okay. Earlier in the podcast, Manuel is talking a little bit about Superman Returns. And I think that Superman Returns is an interesting movie in that a lot we talked about it like way back in the day in the early days of my podcast, and we did a review of it and we talked about it for probably 45 minutes, and we still didn't really quite figure it out because there's something weird going on with that movie. Because, and I have a theory about it, and I want to kind of hear your guys' theory on it, and it could be total bullshit, but do you know what that movie was budgeted for? Do you know how much it cost to make it?
No clue.
$205 million. Okay. $205 million in 2000, and it was released in 2008. I'm sorry, no, it wasn't. It was released in 2006. So that means and the movie was in production for a long time, so it was 2004. So we're talking $204 million in 2004 money, which is a ton of money, which would be like... probably add $20 million to that price to get, you know, so we're looking at probably, you know, $225 million movie. Okay. The reason I have a theory about this movie again, this movie has a very placeholder feeling to it. This movie is a very nostalgic movie that basically goes and it says, hey, do you remember the Richard Donner movies? You know, and it's a love letter to the Richard Donner movies. And, you know, it does a lot of stuff for the Richard Donner movies. But one thing it does not do is it does not move the story forward at all. Basically, it just closes out those four movies with, you know, Superman and moving on. Superman did end up, you know, having his kid with Lois and finding out the truth about Krypton and blah, blah, blah. Now, it was somewhat shakily set up for a sequel, but I'm starting to wonder if they did not really hope to do much with this except for make some money. I know that there's the argument that every movie is there to make money, but this movie had a $204 million budget, you know, 8-9 years ago, whatever that was when they made it, right? Well, it turns out that the reason why it had that big of a budget was they were writing off a lot of the legal expenses because of the infamous, you know, DC Warner Brothers versus the Siegel and Schuster family. And they had a lot of their legal, their licensing that they had to pay them, a lot of the legal things like that. And so they stuck a lot of that into the budget. So I'm wondering if, and there's no way we would ever get any confirmation about this because I'm not even sure it'd be legal, but I'm kind of wondering if they just kind of made this, they made this movie to get that money paid off so they can, you know, move forward and make a movie like Man of Steel. And I especially wonder that because of the fact that it did take them another, what, we're looking at 9 years later that this movie comes out. And I'm kind of wondering if they had other motives besides making a Superman movie with this, because it was such a strange movie, because, you know, say what you will about it, but it did not seem to try to push the story forward at all. At least it didn't in my eyes. Could you see why I say that?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's weird, man.
Okay. Yeah, it's a weird film, and I do kind of wonder if they had other motives than making a Superman movie. And I really don't think that they had any thoughts of kickstarting it into a franchise. I mean, what did they think was going to what did they think was going to happen? They were going to make Superman and Son after that? I mean, it just, to me, I think it was a strictly business movie. You know, because they were effectively making a sequel to a movie that came, when the hell did the Superman 4 come out? Like 88, 89? So they were making a 20-year-old sequel to a movie that nobody liked. You're like, what the hell is going on here? And it's such a strange movie, but I am very much looking forward to, I am looking forward to Man of Steel. I hope it's awesome. I hope that, you know, I hope it fixes my Zack Snyder apathy or agnosticism. I just don't have my mind made up on him. I am more optimistic about him than I'm pessimistic about him. I have a friend that, you know, says that, you know, he's a worse blight on cinema than, you know, Michael Bay, and I think that's ridiculous, and I don't agree that Michael Bay's a blight on cinema, but that's beside the point. So, okay. What are your guys' basic thoughts of the Donner films? Where are you at on those?
Well, they're iconic. They should be. I think anyone that even remotely likes comic books or likes the character, they should watch those movies. And I think they're a good movie. I think Christopher Reeve was a perfect Superman.
Yeah.
You know, the way he portrayed the character, he did a great job, you know, and just for his portrayal, you should watch the movies, and I'm sure that if you watch the movies, you're going to enjoy them.
Certainly the first two. People seem to universally enjoy the first. I mean, there's always some people that think everything sucks, but people seem to universally like the first two and universally dislike the, you know, 3 and 4. You know, the third one was pretty awful because it had Richard Pryor, and I love Richard Pryor, don't get me wrong, but yeah, he didn't really work for Superman, you know, quote marks in the air villain. But yeah, they're pretty good. Did you guys watch Smallville? Thoughts there?
Oh man, I love Smallville. I'm probably one of the person you least expect to say that they like Smallville.
Yeah. I've only seen the first season, though, so I've been meaning to get the other seasons, but forgot around two.
Oh man, I love the Smallville series, and Lana Lang, but Lex Luthor, the guy that plays Lex Luthor.
Yeah, Rosenbaum, Michael Rosenbaum.
But Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah, he was to the Flash that, in Justice League.
That is the most perfect portrayal of the character I've ever seen, and I don't think I'll ever be able to see another character without think of Lex Luthor without thinking of that guy. I mean, I think he was the perfect casting for that character.
He's just perfect casting for a young Lex Luthor. But, you know,
yes.
I stand firm that there's two characters that I've never been fully happy with their casting, and they are they're Lex Luthor and Batman. I don't think they've ever got that right, ever. I thought that Gene Hackman had a fun time playing bald Gene Hackman, ex kind of Lex Luthor. Michael Rosenbaum did a good job playing Lex Luthor as a kid starting out to become evil and did what he could with that. But I don't think anybody's ever got the diabolical nature, the sheer fucking genius, the man's man's version of Lex Luthor better than Clancy Brown in the animated series. And I understand that that's just I love Clancy Brown's characterization of Lex Luthor. And the same thing with Batman. You know, I think that, you know, Kevin Conroy is my favorite Batman, but again, he's just a voice, but they do really interesting things there. And I do think that's telling that, you know, I'm just all like, you know, I love Mark Hamill. I love Mark Hamill more than probably most people because I'm a Star Wars nerd and all Star Wars nerds. But I still I think the Heath Ledger was a better Joker than him. I know that's a controversial thing, but fuck that. I think it was a better Joker. He's a great and Mark Hamill is a great Joker. But I do think that Heath Ledger was a better, you know, physical Joker than he could have ever been. So I think that there's just something weird going on there when I think that they haven't got those two characters, Batman or Lex Luthor, right in casting, except for in The Voice. And I don't know. But do you guys hope to see Lex Luthor in a sequel?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
You okay, man?
They're probably gonna bring him. They're probably gonna bring him for the sequel. I mean, I hope they don't screw it up. But I'm sure they're gonna do a great job so far. From what we've seen, they nailed all the castings, so I'm pretty sure they're gonna get somebody that fits the bill.
Now I don't remember but there was somebody that joined the Man of Steel cast like forever ago, and you haven't heard shit about him since. But he is still in the cast, and he's not listed, and he is some guy from some TV show. And there was speculation that maybe he was going to turn out to be Luthor. I don't know
who he was.
I heard about that. That was a while ago, though, right?
It seemed like he was. Oh God, it was over a year ago.
The John Blake situation with them, right? I think.
Well, kind
we don't
of.
Don't really know much about this guy.
Kind of, except for you know Joseph Gordon-Levitt was more visibly in it. You know, like they showed him in the trailers. They were talking to him in interviews. This guy, they haven't said shit about him since he got cast. And I don't remember who it was. It seemed like he was on maybe True Blood or some TV show like that. I would have to look, but but there was speculation that he might be playing Luthor. And I don't remember his name. And I don't remember anything that he's done, but I do know I looked at the character and I remember watching, like, there was like one of like some fan made best of this guy on YouTube, and I watched it, and it didn't seem beyond the realm of possibility that this guy would be capable of playing it.
I have no idea.
I can't remember his name.
But I'm sure they're gonna bring Lex Luthor eventually, because he's like the Joker. You can't have Superman without Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they could do it like the Mandarin. That would rock. Didn't make him an actor or something like that. I don't know.
I'll pretend you didn't say that.
I'm going to pretend I totally said the hell out of that.
Nah, I'm playing.
I don't think they'll do that. I
can see the screen bursting in the flames right there, too.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. Okay, do we need to talk anything else about this before we move on?
What would the sequel name be for the Man of Steel?
Man of more, I don't know, Steelheart.
I wanted to mention something that I know Corey's gonna be interested in. In this new
Christopher Maloney.
Christopher
Maloney is the character's name, but on IMDb they have him listed as Colonel Nathan Hardy. So who knows what's going on there?
Oh, okay.
Christopher Maloney is not. They've shown him before. He's in the promotional stills. He was on SVU.
Okay.
Christopher Maloney was on SVU and Aught.
Well, then maybe this is.
There's some other guy they were talking about that might be Luther.
Well, keep going. I'll look.
I wanted to mention the new World's Finest comic book that's coming out, the one drawn by Jay Lee, the one Batman and Superman, it's gonna be the first time they meet. That's gonna be the first storyline. It's gonna be the first time they meet, and the first time they meet, they team up for fighting crime or whatever they do. And so that's gonna be the main focus, how their friendship begins, and hopefully it's close to what we've already seen, but we'll have to wait and see. It's still weird. I still feel a little weird about the style of the artwork, but I'll give it a shot at least for the first.
It's next week, right?
Two or three. Is it next week?
I think so. The 21st.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it a shot, but I don't know. It looks kind of. We'll see. But yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Okay. Any other thing we need to talk about before we stick a fork in this bitch?
No, I want to say that probably next week we're gonna be talking about Man of Steel.
Okay, yes. Let's talk about Man of Steel. Cool. Yeah, I guess let's see what happens. Maybe we'll talk about our reactions. Maybe we won't. Let's see what happens. But okay. Closing thoughts on Superman as a character, as a comic book character, as a movie series.
Love the character. Very, very, very optimistic about the new movie. Yeah, that's about it.
Fascinating.
He's mythical.
Eh?
There's no other way around it. I mean, okay, he can go to the farthest end of the earth, right? Show them a picture of the Superman symbol, and blam. They say, Superman. He's universal. So this is going to be something familiar. This is going to be something awesome. It's going to revitalize it, and it's going to breathe life into the Superman franchise. And honestly, it's a movie, combo movies all over the place, too, because when a combo movie is successful, that's always a good thing for us, no matter what side of the pond you're on, you know?
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. I want a good Superman movie. This looks like it's going to be a good Superman movie. But, you know, I'm more, and this might be shitty me to say, that's fine, but I'm more interested about the spoils of this movie. I want to see this movie turn into a Flash movie, a Wonder Woman movie, a Green Lantern sequel. I want a Green Lantern sequel because I want more damn Mark Strong as Sinestro. You know, I want to see whatever there it is they're going to do with Batman. I want to see, a Justice League movie, fine, but I'd still rather, like we talked about on our We Make the Justice League Movie podcast that we did on Confessions, I'm more interested in seeing the individual movies than I am the Justice League, but obviously I'll see the Justice League. But, you know, how cool would it be to see frickin', the Martian Manhunter on screen, or fucking, I don't know, Hawkman, any of these iconic characters that, right now we're sitting here in our little podcasty world saying, I can't see, a movie like this getting greenlit, but, who the hell would think that, Iron Man, when Iron Man came out, was optimistically B-lister in the Marvel Universe, and he is what sprungboard us into, into everything that we're enjoying with the Marvel Universe these days. And if they get this movie... and if they get this movie right, with Superman, with the big cheese, then we're going to see great things come out of it, hopefully. And, I might be weird about Zack Snyder right now, but if he does this right, if it leads us into a good Flash movie, Martian Manhunter movie, better Batman movies, then, I'll change my tune. I'll actually lean positive towards him, and I hope it happens, because we'd only all went out at that point. Okay. Do we have anything else to add before we go? I'm doing a whole line of Coke. And, yeah. Hey, I watched The Dark Knight Rises today. God damn, that's a good movie. Yes. I liked that movie so much.
Yes.
That was a good movie, dude. You can be a bitch about all you want, but there's so much cool stuff in it. I really liked that movie. I mean, you don't have to like it, but boy, did I like it. And it actually kind of got me excited for Man of Steel, because, I was noticing this. You know, because I remember before Iron Man 3 came out, I watched, you know, I have all the most of the comic book movies on Blu-ray or DVD. And, you know, I'm like, you know, the Iron Man 3 is coming out. So I'm like, okay, I'll watch, you know, the Iron Man movies and Avengers and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or you know, like when Thor the Dark World comes out, I'll be able to watch Thor or, you know, Captain America 2. I'll be able to watch, you know, like, you know, we got that option. And then we got the Man of Steel coming out. I'm like, ah, I guess I'll watch The Dark Knight Rises because we don't really have anything leading into it. But it was still a badass movie and it was fun to watch. So I want to see Bane show up in that movie because, man, I like Bane in that. But, hey. Whatever. All right.
Don't worry, so what? Don't worry, who about who I was.
Let's not play who speaks like what now.
Yeah.
Lois Lane.
Yeah, Lois Lane. Where I've killed you all. Good stuff. Good stuff. Alrighty, guys. Yeah. So I guess that means until next week. Yeah, keep it truthful, people, what was that? Something about peace, Harper Rowe for Manuel, I don't remember, something, but...
Increase the peace!
There you go, increase the man...
Harper Rowe 2013.
Harper Rowe.
Stay black.
Yeah, yeah, increase the Harper Rowe and Manuel's life, the peace. I don't remember.
Oh,
yeah,
man, come on.
Yeah. All right.
Stephanie Brown.
Stephanie Brown, bitches. Free balling it. You know, take off your pants. We're free balling it.
Free balling
it. That's just assuming that I was wearing pants in the first place.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Only an asshole podcast with pants. Somebody is really spiking.
Somebody's what?
Really spiking, like really loud. And it isn't Corey.
Could it be me?
Well, why don't you talk in your normal voice?
I am talking in my normal voice.
Not as high pitched yet, though.
Oh, so you have that talking about? So Harper Rowe, right?
Oh man, don't start with that.
See,
shit.
That's it. I mean, like when he gets agitated, it spikes.
This podcast was cut by Uncool Aaron.